Father, we thank you. We can bow and get our eyes on you and particularly off of our ugly selves and off the ugliness of the fallen world and know that you are perfect and you are good and you're all that is perfect and good. We just thank you that you've given us the power of prayer that we can pray. So lead us and guide us this morning, Lord, as we spend these few moments together, just bringing to you as you would lead us and guide us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so pure and so kind. You shine like the morning star. Jesus, what a wonder you are.
Well, as we continue through the Bible and prayers in the Bible, we've gotten to the book of Colossians. We were in these beautiful prison epistles of Paul particularly in Ephesians, as we spent quite a bit of time there, and now then Philippians, and now we look at Colossians. And I'm just going to look at one sentence today, and you might think, well, that's not going to take very long. Well, the sentence happens to be 126 words long, so those of you who like brevity may not like this sentence too well. But beginning in verse 3 of Colossians, we read, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is also among you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." So I thought what we would do this morning is have each of you diagram this sentence. And isn't that something? 126-word sentence. That's not too shabby, is it? Of course, most of his salutations in his epistles are quite long, and just the Spirit speaking to him. And so we also see similar prayers in Romans 1, verse 9 to 10. You don't have to turn there unless you want, but he stated there, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And in Ephesians 1:16, he said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And so, what a man of prayer. And it's just amazing here to me that every time he writes a letter, he is telling these saints that he is praying without ceasing, making mention of them. And I just wonder, did he have a list? There are, how many names could he possibly remember of all of these places? We know, for example, in the book of Romans, chapter 16 is filled with names that he addressed to the church in Rome, but he'd never been there. And we have here in Colossae, he had never been to that church either. How many people he knew, he doesn't mention by name, but of course Epaphras was from Colossae and was with him in jail there when he was writing this. But he's giving thanks, praying for them, and he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Jesus and your love for all the saints," remember those exactly the same two things he mentioned to the people in Ephesus, "and then because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven, and then it's come to you as also in all the world." Here's a place where we see reference being made to, you know, in about 30 years, the gospel went around the then known world and is bringing forth fruit. And of course, that's certainly true till this day, isn't it? Since what? You heard the news and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. So Paul here is just beginning this epistle in the salutation, saying he's giving thanks to them and he's praying always for them. And so as we look at prayers like this, the question comes to my mind, how is my prayer life? Who am I praying for? And how often am I praying for them? And it would seem like all of these people that Paul is praying for basically are believers here in these various epistles. That doesn't mean he didn't pray for the lost, because he did. But I just am impressed with how much he does pray for the believers. And I believe that's something for us to be aware of as well, that we want to pray for believers for fruitfulness, because why are we still here if God doesn't have something for us to do? And what better thing could we do than to pray for fruitfulness among the believers, particularly those that the Lord puts on our heart? So ask yourself, how is your prayer life in praying for others? Who are you praying for? How often are you praying for them? And I can't say that I come very close to Paul if he's praying without ceasing, as he's praying daily. But we need to pray as the Spirit puts names in our heart, don't we? We need to pray in response to the Spirit, because that is what we're really always doing, is responding to him, because the Spirit is the one who puts the desire in our heart to pray in the first place, right? So as we go to prayer this morning, much to pray for. We've got tremendous number of outreaches all around the world right now for the next 2 weeks, particularly as hearts are more open for this season. And so I think we want to pray for the fruitfulness of the believers' activities there in the church at large, in the church wherever you want to be led by. But we got 7 billion people on the face of this earth. Just think of the numbers of those people and how many need the gospel, how many need to be reminded, how many need to be prayed for the freedom from the bondage of the evil one. We got all the tragedies around the world, those here in this country and others, and I think we want to pray for those. I don't think we want to dwell on them necessarily, other than as the Lord leads you to dwell on them. But the biggest thing is the eternal position of each soul. And so however the Lord leads us to pray in that regard, may we lift up. I do know pastors need prayer this time of the year, and busy, and a lot of different activities going on, and that they would be strengthened, and that they would keep their hearts and minds right on the things at hand. So may we have some of the qualities of Apostle Paul here, as led by the Spirit in praying for others, and may we be led now by the Spirit as we go forward this morning. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.